Join us this week as we descend into the darker side of human nature and uncover the shadows that dwell in the unknown. From chilling true crime and gruesome murders to spine-tingling paranormal encounters that defy explanation, we're peeling back the curtain on things that go bump in the night. So grab a flashlight and maybe a blanket, because you're listening to The Guilty and the Ghostly.
How's that?
Girl.
I almost threw you on the floor. Can you hear? Talk something. I'm trying to turn it up. I need you to talk.
Testing, 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 testing.
Okay. Testing. I can hear you now. Shut the hell up.
Wow.
I'm just kidding, babe. My cords are all wrapped up. Hang on.
God, you're supposed to have this stuff ready already, bro. You have got to invest in some better ear pods or something.
You're telling me, and my ear hurts because I've been listening to really good stories, and so I've had my old AirPods in, and I feel like they're trying to rip my ears off. They hurt so bad.
Okay, well, when we get our new equipment, I'm getting all new stuff like that, so we don't have to worry about it.
Okay, Gira.
I've already started looking into it.
Okay, Gira.
You have your stuff ready now.
I don't even have it pulled up, homie. I'm on the struggle bus today, okay?
That's it, I quit.
Did you just walk out? You're like, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. You've already been fired. You might as well quit now. So what do you think about
Obviously
my hair?
Obviously not. I think it looks good.
It's a lot darker than what I was going for. Am I still frozen?
No.
I can see you a lot better. Before you turned your Wi-Fi on, you were a blur.
Yeah. I wonder if there's settings in here that I can change.
Don't touch it. It's working. Don't touch it. Stop touching.
Are you sure? Because you're frozen again. Not now. Now I can see your pouty face.
I'm cheating on Stella Rosa.
I can't believe you would do that.
I'm drinking my other go-to, Jamaican Me Happy.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully they can see that, because it's wherever you were pointing that at, I could not see.
Well, I'm sorry. So toast to us. 16 years.
Yeah.
Happy anniversary.
Yep, 16 years of hardships and beatings from you and you name
what?
It. Oh, nothing. I'm just talking about my trauma.
This is a safe place. Go ahead and share.
It's only Go safe ahead. Because I'm not with you.
Go ahead and share. Well, I haven't even told Seth that this episode didn't record because I don't have the heart to tell him.
Yeah.
So Seth and I recorded this yesterday. Nope. Wednesday.
Oh,
it
we're
was
starting?
Actually. We've been starting. I'm including some of this chaotic energy.
Oh,
we
okay.
need it.
Okay, well, welcome back to the GGP.
What's the GGP?
Guilty in the Ghostly Podcast.
Oh, okay. That would actually probably be a better code word for Dubby than what I have it, so they don't have to type everything out. So I may go and change that. Good?
You're welcome. See, I'm a marketing genius here.
Way to contribute. I'm digging it. I like it. Keep it up. But anyways, Seth and I recorded this Wednesday, and we were having troubles before then because we actually tried to get Josh on to record with us as well, but we couldn't do it. The internet was bad. We didn't have the right headphones, but we're working on it. Josh has been looking at it, so we may be changing that soon. We've got our new internet. We thought it would be so much better, which right now it seems to be working okay.
Yeah, you're actually really clear compared to normal right now.
Yeah, and I just can't run the computer and the phone on it at the same time. I found that out. So
Yeah.
that we're learning. We're trying to figure it out. Like I said, we're looking at new equipment, so hopefully in the next couple months it'll start coming together, start working together.
Yeah, we're working on it in the background, folks.
Just bear with us. And Josh's audio this week, just like it was the last week, is a little off because somebody forgot his microphone when he went to Ohio, so
I didn't forget. I didn't have room.
he forgot. Don't
It's always
lie.
my fault. See, we were talking about the me being beat. That was her way of doing it. Verbal abuse.
Whatever, whatever. So I have told you a little bit about this story, but I know when I tell you things, it goes in one ear and out the other. I'm hoping it did that with this case because there are some twists and turns. There are some twists and turns in it that I didn't tell you, so maybe the whole thing won't be a surprise, but there'll at least be bits and pieces that are a surprise.
Okay.
Did you have anything
I'm
else to
listening.
say before we start?
Not necessarily, other than happy anniversary to my beautiful wife.
Oh, okay. I see what you're doing. Just
I'm
like,
trying not to get beat.
oh, okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. You've been out of town for how long now?
Going on 3, just a little over 3 weeks.
Yeah, and he's still not home. Doesn't come home till Wednesday.
Yep. 5 more
I'm
wake-ups.
barely surviving over here. He left me for a month alone with his three demon spawns.
You had a hand in that as well.
We were at maze pitching lessons on Monday. And if you know our child, one thing to know about May is she wears it on her face. She does not control her emotions. She has RBF. She gets it honestly. I normally have really bad RBF. And her pitching coach goes, "May, fix your face, girl." He told me that like three times last practice. I was dying. She actually smiled twice tonight, so I was happy for her.
Wow.
So I know. And she did really good tonight, so I'm proud of her. She's
Good.
doing good. She's been going through it the last couple of weeks, and I can see her smile coming back a little bit, so I'm excited.
Good. I'm glad to hear
Yeah.
that. I was concerned for a short time.
Oh, I'm still concerned that she's gonna murder all of us one of these days.
There would be one to do it. That'd be the one.
That'd be the one. Yep. Like when you see that Facebook post that says, "I've always like raised my child to be a leader, whether that be of a prison gang or the CEO of a company. I'm just not sure which one." That's her. She's always been a feral child, crazy one. Like I said, not afraid to speak her opinion, not afraid to wear it on her face. She's a little miniature me, and it's kind of scary sometimes. But times 10, like her personality to me, she has a lot of my traits, but because she was raised a little bit differently, I guess she's not afraid.
Yeah.
We haven't put enough fear of God in that child because she is not afraid. And so they're my traits times 20. It's scary.
Yep.
And then sometimes she'll do something, and I'm like, "I want to beat you." And Josh will look at me and be like, "That's you, homegirl."
It
So.
really is. Like that kid is an exact replica of you, but with the shortest possible fuse.
Yep, at least my fuse is long. For some reason, she has a very short fuse. She's like a bomb. We handle her with care.
And but, Kevlar.
Yeah. Well, we're making it. So far, we're doing good. So she's a good kid.
For the most part.
For the most part. We have our moments. But that's enough about that. You ready for our story?
I guess.
Okay. I'm going to take a break. Take a drink.
I'm going to have to take this hoodie off here in a minute. It's hot.
That's what I was just thinking as I'm wearing this sweater. And normally I'm cold in here, but I guess because I've already drank this one and I've been moving around and almost knocked the camera over and everything else. Kind of hot.
Yeah, you were like, you're definitely hot. But you were moving around in there like a buffalo.
So I'm fat. Thanks.
I didn't say that. Did not say that. Buffaloes are not fat, by the way. They're very lean animals.
Oh, are they? I see.
They are.
So I'm a skinny queen.
Sure.
I can't stand you.
I can't hype you up too much. Then you're going to think too much of yourself and you're going to leave me.
Oh, whatever.
With my face for radio here.
Your face for radio. You don't even have the voice for radio right now because you don't have your microphone, bro.
That's very true.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's enough banter. We can go ahead and jump in because we're already at like 15 minutes.
Yep.
Okay. So this story takes place in 2001. We have a gentleman by the name of Michael DiPolito. He went to prison for fraud, like fraud-related crimes. Specifically, there were a couple of different sources, and I don't know if it's just because they don't know how to exactly explain what he was doing. Some of them said it was like a telemarketing scam. Some said it was a Ponzi scheme. I can't remember what they called it, but it was some other type of like currency scam to where he would call these people and be like, I have a great opportunity. You've got to pay this to do this and you'll get all this money back. Or you can give me this money and I'll exchange it for a different currency and you'll make your money back times five and you get to get money back or whatever. So he was doing that. He got caught. He was convicted for organized fraud and grand theft. So he served only about 7 months, and then they released him early. And one of his conditions of being released early from prison was 28 years of probation.
Wow.
That's a lot of years.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather do prison time.
Yeah, 28 years is a long time.
Yeah.
Well, fast forward. So he served his time. He's out on probation. He gets married. And we're going to fast forward to October 4th, 2008. They're living in Boynton Beach, Florida. Michael DiPolito is now a 38-year-old married entrepreneur. And his wife goes out of town. And so what does any lonely 38-year-old entrepreneur decide to do when his wife goes out of town? He calls an escort service. He's going to have a lady of the night. So he calls this escort service and
I don't know about any 38-year-old man.
You're not 38, you're 40, like an old man, so you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just don't know that any man would do that. You got to be a special kind of person to do some stuff like that.
That is true. That is true. Well,
you're taking a big risk.
Yeah. Well, he calls this escort service and they set up a meeting at his house. And so they send 26-year-old Dahlia Muhammad to his house. And she walks up to his $250,000 house. So it's not any like small little house. It is a huge house. I think it was like right outside of Palm Springs, Florida, like the ritzy side.
I
And
mean,
she's 26 years old.
that's a $250,000 house in Palm Springs probably isn't a huge house by any means.
Well, it was in 2008, so I don't know what to tell you. It was a big house.
I guess
It was a nice
I guess that
house.
was kind of around the time where the housing market and all that stuff went nuts.
Yeah.
So I suppose that did make a difference then. A
Yeah.
quarter now a $250,000 house is you're gonna luck be lucky to get a trailer.
I guess that's true, but regardless, this house was like super nice. Like they were not hard for money at all. Well,
Yeah.
Dahlia is 26 years old, so 12 years younger than Michael. Sorry, I've been researching another case, so I have another name on my mind. So 12 years younger than Michael. Super thin, small, petite. Like she's both of them really are kind of like gym rats. Like they loved working out. Not me. Good for you. But they really cared about their appearance. And she must have had like pristine vagine because just 2 weeks after meeting Dahlia, Michael files for divorce from his wife of 7 years.
Wow.
Not only did he file for divorce from his wife of 7 years, he proposed to Dahlia with a $20,000 engagement ring.
That's nuts.
That is insane.
In the grand scheme of things, a $20,000 ring, I suppose, would be somewhat normal, but I'm not the type of person to spend money like that.
No, that is to me, I would fear losing it on the daily. Like, we didn't even spend that
Oh, I
much on
know.
mine. And
Right.
what was it, a couple weeks ago? Well, I guess it was over a month now since you've been gone that long. I was doing laundry, and ladies will understand, my fingers swell a lot and then they'll go down. And so when my fingers are swollen, like it fits fine. But then when my fingers go down, it's kind of loose. And I was doing laundry and I went to bed and I was about to lay down and I have a bad habit of playing with my ring. And I did it and it wasn't there. And I was like, where's my ring? And Josh looked at me like, I don't know. Okay. And I started freaking out, started retracing my steps. And I was like, I can't find my ring. I can't find my ring. And he's just sitting there like, okay. And I ended up finding out when I swapped, I was like, it's in the washer because I had just put clothes in the washer. So I opened the washer, it's completely full of water. And I was like, well, there's nothing I can do for now. So I closed the washer and then I was like, you know what? I did take clothes out of the dryer. So I went and checked the clothes that I took out of the dryer. And sure enough, when I took the clothes out of the dryer, it pulled my ring off and I didn't even realize it. Could you imagine doing that with a $20,000 ring?
Oh no. No, I would have been much more concerned then.
I love my ring. It's beautiful.
Is. And to me, it's really not about the ring so much as it is the commitment. I
Yeah.
mean, my ring is just a $50 silicone ring. And to me, that's all I really need.
Yeah, and we just upgraded my ring last year. And when I say upgraded, I don't think it cost any more. It actually may have been less than my original ring.
It was.
But I got my original ring when I was much younger, and I have my taste has changed a little bit, and I wanted a ring that was more my style. And I don't like big blingy rings. I wanted just this, and it's more my personality, and I love it. And I just couldn't imagine. Could not imagine $20,000 ring. That's insane.
No, me
Insane.
either. That's a crazy amount.
Yeah. Well, they get married on February 2nd, 2009, and after they got married, like the couple would go to like friends' houses, they'd go hang out, and some of these friends were from Michael's previous marriage. They were friends before the divorce, and they're like they were so over the top with affection that it almost made us uncomfortable. Like they were really packing on the PDA all over each other, and it almost made the friends kind of like, ugh, like control yourselves. After about a year of marriage, All of a sudden, Michael's probation officer randomly shows up at his house unannounced. Has never done that before. Has never just randomly showed up. Michael answers the door, and there's two detectives with them. And that's when they tell Michael that they've been receiving anonymous calls that he's been selling drugs. And he's like, bro, I'm not into that. I don't do that. They asked if they could search his house. He's like, go ahead, search it. So they search it top to bottom. They don't find anything. Okay, have a nice day. We'll see you later. They leave. After they search Michael's house, Michael and Dahlia decide that they want to go on like a little getaway, like a little Palm Beach getaway. So they go out of town for the weekend. They're staying in a hotel and they are leaving the hotel and they see cops out in the parking garage. And they're like, we've been told you're dealing drugs and that you keep them in your car. He's like, there's no way. I've already been reported once. Like, it's not me. I'm not doing it. Go ahead, search my car. So they search his car. They don't find anything. Now, I did see one source later on that said once Dahlia and Michael went home, he found a baggie of pills in his car. But they had no idea where they came from. Like, if they weren't his, Dahlia said they weren't hers. They have no idea where this baggie of pills. But there's only like one or two sources that said that. So I'm not sure if they really did find the baggie of pills in there, but just interesting. So a few weeks later, Michael and Dahlia decide to go out for dinner. They're going to a restaurant. They go eat their dinner. They're leaving the restaurant. Yet again, the cops are sitting in the parking lot. We need to search your car. And dude's like, come on. You've already searched me twice. You haven't found anything. I'm not dealing drugs. I'm not in that part of the world anymore. Like, I don't do that. Go ahead. Search my car. Search the car. Top to bottom. This time, they find a little baggie of cocaine in a package of cigarettes in his car. Michael starts freaking out, saying, it's not mine. I've been reported so many times. You guys have searched me multiple times. Nothing has been found. They are not mine. And I guess he pled his case enough to where the cops were like, he's kind of right. Like, we've never found anything before. It's kind of strange that all of a sudden we found a baggie of cocaine in your car. So they let him go. They let him go for the night. The next morning, Michael and Dahlia wake up. And Dahlia surprises Michael that she's pregnant. They're shocked, but they're excited. They started making future plans about their little family. She even left a note on the fridge one day that said, "This is the happiest time of my life. You are the man of my dreams. I love you now and always." So like they're ready to start their lives. They're ready to start their family, move on, put his past behind them. Hopefully these random drug searches quit. They have no idea where they're coming from. And they're ready to take that next step. Well, a few months later, Michael was recovering from a back surgery. Some say it was a back surgery. Some say it was a cosmetic procedure for his love handles. I don't know. Okay. Either way, he was down and out. He, like I said, they were gym rats. They would wake up every morning and they would go work out together. Like that was their routine. Well, since he was recovering from this surgery, Dahlia's like, well, I'm going to go ahead, go to the gym. And Michael was going to hang back, walk the dogs, and they would start their day. So Dahlia gets up about 5:40. She gets ready. She heads to the gym. And after she's been there for about an hour, Dahlia receives a phone call while she's there at the gym from a man who says his name is Sergeant Ramsey with the Boynton Police Department. He told Dahlia that something has happened at their home and there's this huge emergency and she needs to get back immediately. So Dahlia jumps in her car and began rushing home. No idea what she's coming up on. No idea what's going on. She just knows something bad has happened and she's got to get to her house. As she pulls down her street and she sees her house, it is completely covered in police cars, news crews, police tape, the crime scene tape, and there's people everywhere. And she's like, what's going on? That's when they tell her that they had responded to a call that shots were fired at the Dipolito house, and Michael Dipolito is dead.
Oh, wow.
And these news cameras caught everything on tape. So those videos that I sent you, play clip number one. That's them telling her and her finding out that her husband has been shot.
You need to try to watch that now?
Yeah.
I'll see what I can do.
I'm Sergeant Ramsey. I'm the one that called you. Thank you for coming. I'm sorry to call you. Listen, we had a report of a disturbance at your house, and there were shots fired. Is your husband Michael? Okay, I'm sorry to tell you, ma'am. He's been killed.
No.
He's been killed, ma'am. I'm sorry.
No, no, he's not.
Listen.
No. No.
Try to calm down.
No.
Listen.
No.
Right now, what we need to get you to the station.
No.
We need to get you to our police station. I can't let you in, ma'am. We have to do our job. If you want us to find this killer, okay? We need you to calm down. I'm gonna need you to go with these detectives, okay? Does he have enemies? Is there anyone that would want to hurt him? Okay, who would want to hurt him? Witnesses said they saw a black male running from me. I can't let you see him, ma'am. Ma'am, I cannot do this right now. Ma'am, I can't go. Detective Yopi, I need you to take her to the station. I can't, ma'am. Go with these detectives. If you want to help your husband, okay? If you want to help your husband, you need to go to the station with these gentlemen and tell us everything you know about who he knows, who he's connected to. Don't worry, we've already taken care of dogs with animal control for right now. Everything's under control. And we'll take care of everything else, okay? Thank you, guys.
So as you can see in the video, she's very upset. She has no idea what's going on. She's asking to see her husband, and they're just trying to get her to the police station to figure out what's going on. Who did this? They've been reported several times by an anonymous caller that they're selling drugs. Something's up. So they rush Dahlia to the police station. At the station, she begins to tell them that they start asking her questions. And that's when she tells them he had been on probation. Everybody's been trying to set them up. She even gives a few names of like some colleagues that might have had some bad business dealings, so they might be after him. She mentioned maybe the legal trouble that he's been in, maybe that could be a possibility. And she's just kind of throwing everything that she knows out there. And then police revealed to Dahlia that from what they found, it looked like Michael opened the door and was suddenly attacked, and they shot him twice, and he passed away. He was no longer with us. She again gets upset, starts crying. The police officer's like, let me go get you a drink of water. I'll be right back. So he leaves the room, and he brings Dahlia a bottle of water. And at this time, they kind of talk for a little bit, and then he said, bring that guy in here. And so they bring a guy in handcuffs into the room. And they begin asking Dahlia, like, do you know this guy? So play clip number two.
Get over here. Get over here. You know who this guy is?
No.
You've never seen him before?
I've never seen him before. Ever.
Do you know her?
Put your head up and look at her.
Put your head up.
I've never seen him.
What were you doing coming out of her house? Out here.
You just watched that clip of them bringing the guy in and them being like, do you know him?
Mm-hmm.
And she completely denied it. And once he comes in and he leaves the room, Dahlia and the detective are sitting there again. And all of a sudden, the police officer looks at Dahlia and says, you're going to jail today. And she's like, excuse me? Play clip number three and really listen to it.
Sit back down.
Here, stay right here. You can stay right there.
Oh my God.
She's alive.
Come here, please. Come here. Mike, come here. Come here, please. Come here.
I can't fit this.
Why not? I didn't do anything to you.
I heard you.
Mike, come here, please. come here.
Okay. Thank you. Want to take her back to booking, please?
That's crazy.
So did you hear who she was asking for?
Yeah. Yeah, he's still alive, apparently.
She starts screaming for Michael. Michael, come in here. Michael, come talk to me, please. Michael's still alive.
That's crazy.
At this point, they know. They find out Dahlia had hired a hitman to kill her husband that morning. The hitman that she hired was an undercover cop. Let's rewind. While Michael was being set up for dealing drugs and he had all those anonymous calls come in, he actually confronted Dahlia on the third time and was like, are you the one calling these in? Because you're the only one that knew we would be here for dinner tonight and you're the only one that has access to my car. She started acting erratic. She was actually driving. She was reaching speeds over 100 miles per hour, crying hysterically. I don't know how you would accuse me of this. I would never do that to you. How could you accuse me of this? And he was like, her reaction was just so bizarre that I was just like, I had to second guess myself. Like, there's no way she would do that to me. She's my wife. Why would she do that to me? But again, no one else knew where they were going that night.
And see, here I was thinking the whole time that that was probably his ex-wife that was causing these problems. That's crazy.
Karma's a bitch.
Yeah, it is. Oh, I just seen something float behind you.
Stop it right
now.
No,
seriously. I've just seen like what looked like an orb or some dust or something.
Don't you wish that on me, Ricky Bobby.
I swear I did. That was crazy. You're going to have to go back and look.
Okay, now I'm scared. Okay. It was just ghostly having his fun. Okay. I swear. Well, it obviously raised an alarm bell when he started asking Dahlia. She's like, oh shit, he's on to me. So that next morning, when she told him that she was pregnant, she wasn't pregnant. She lied. It was all to get him off her trail. She knew he was catching on to what she was doing, and she's like, I've got to do something. That same day that Dahlia told him that she was pregnant, she was texting an ex-boyfriend by the name of Mike Stanley. She had actually remained in contact with this guy all through their marriage, but Dahlia was very, she would use guys to her advantage and kind of use like her sex appeal and her charm to basically get what she needed from these guys. And as soon as she got what she needed, she'd kick them to the curb. Well, she kept this Mike Stanley guy in her pocket, and she would send him hundreds of texts while Michael and her were married. And that day that she told Michael that she was pregnant, she texted Mike, the old boyfriend, and she said, yeah, I just told him I was pregnant. And Mike was like, are you? And she was like, no, I just told him that to make him feel better. So very, very manipulative. She then meets up with Mike, the ex-boyfriend, and she's like, Michael's very abusive. I need to get out of this relationship. But what I need you to do is I need you to pose as a lawyer. So he's still paying back the victims from his fraud scheme from a couple of years ago. He's still paying those victims back. What she wanted Mike to do is Michael's attorneys told him, when he's paying these victims back, make sure it's clean money. Like, make sure it's not dirty money. And what they were going to have Mike do is tell Michael to make sure that his money looked clean and to make sure that they didn't sue him for everything he had. Was he needed to write the deed of his $250,000 house over to Dahlia. That way they couldn't touch it. Michael also transferred like $100,000 over to Dahlia, and she was going to pay the lawyers to pay the victims. So it looked like clean money and that he didn't have anything to do with it. Michael did it. He wrote his house over to Dahlia, sent her the money, and Dahlia did not pay a dime to his lawyer.
That's nuts.
Yeah. Once she got Michael to do that and Mike posed as his lawyer, she got what she needed. So she kicked Mike to the curb and was like, see ya. I don't need you anymore. Now, like I mentioned before, Dahlia was a very pretty, very attractive woman. And she really knew how to use her looks to get what she wanted from men. She also had another ex by the name of Muhammad. He was kind of a businessman. I think he owned like a gas station or two. And knew that he kind of ran with a rougher crowd and was like, I bet he would know where I could hire a hitman. So she calls Muhammad and was like, hey, I need you to set me up with the hitman. And Muhammad's kind of like, whoa, like, where is this coming from? And he's abusive. I need to get out of this relationship. I don't know what else to do. Yada, yada, yada. Muhammad doesn't tell her yes and he doesn't tell her no. He's just kind of like, let me think on it. He gets off the phone with Dahlia and he goes to the police station and he tells the cops, I have this ex-girlfriend. She just asked me to kill her boyfriend or her husband. I don't know what to do. And they're like, listen, we're going to hook you up with a camera and a recorder. You're going to go back to Dahlia and tell her you're going to hire a hitman for her. And he agrees. He does it. So they get that on recording that he's going to hire a hitman for him. So he goes back to the cops and they're like, you know what? Let's just take it one step further. Let's set up a sting operation where she meets a quote unquote hitman. So she goes and meets this guy. The guy that they brought into the interrogation room in handcuffs. He was the undercover cop that they hired as a hitman. So she sat there and just bold-faced lied to them saying, I've never seen him before. I don't know who he is. They have it on video that she was talking to him. She got in his car. She provided him with a picture of their house, a picture of him. Told him all the details that she was going to the gym and he can't do it because he's recovering from this surgery. He'll be home from this time and this time by himself. Like, told him everything. She also agreed to pay a $3,000 down payment for the alleged hit. And again, it was all caught on camera. And this clip is the one of Dahlia talking to the hitman.
When it's done, you know, you have to have an option to change your mind. Even if you change your mind, I'm talking to
there's no changing. No, there's no, like, I'm determined already. I'm positive, like, 5,000% sure. Like,
okay.
I was stressing when you told me you were going to come up here, and then I'm, like, looking at the time. I'm like, with him back, he's not coming, he's not this. No, you know, it's, like, all this stuff or whatever. Like, no, when I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. Like, as soon as he told me I was going to need the money from you, I went. I grabbed it right away. Like, we were good to go. Like, right. With me, you're not going to have a problem. You're not going to have an issue. Right. You know what I mean? Nothing of nothing. I just... Okay.
Do you have any money on you right now? You could afford or anything? You don't have to. I'm just saying.
I didn't bring anything.
Okay. No, no. No big deal. No big deal. It's all right. Okay.
So, in that clip, she gets in the car. You can see her. It's like a 20-minute clip on YouTube. And the whole time she's talking to him, the way the camera is set up, it's like behind the driver's seat, but pointed towards the passenger seat. So you can't see the driver. You can only see Dahlia. And in the clip, he asks, like, I need you to say this is what you want because I don't want you going back and changing your mind. Like, once it's done, it's done. Like, I need you to say the words that you want this. And she would not say, I want you to kill him. I want to hire you to kill him. I want him dead. She kept like skirting around it. And he's like, I need you to tell me what you want. And she's like, she kind of laughs and is like, do we really have to do this? Like, she's just very nonchalant about it. You can tell she's kind of nervous, almost suspicious, which I imagine if you're hiring a hitman to kill your husband, I'm sure your nerves are fried at that point.
Oh, yeah.
And During that 20-minute clip, she actually looked back and straight into the camera multiple times. Like, she didn't know it was there, but it was almost like she felt like she was being watched. And what got him the most is when the undercover cop was like, "Are you sure this is what you want?" She's like, "Oh yeah, 5,000% sure. I need it done. I want this to be completed. I don't care what it takes. I'm the type of person that once I make up my mind, that's it. Nothing changes. It is what it is." He said she was just so... just the way she reacted, he said it really got to him. It wasn't make sure he doesn't suffer. Can you do it quickly so that there's no pain? Like, just, I don't care how it gets done. Just do it. Like, very cold-hearted. Well, back to that morning when Dahlia went to the gym as planned, completely unaware that police are knocking on Michael's door, and he answers it, and the police are like, "Dude, your wife's trying to kill you. She's actively trying to hire a hitman to kill you. Here's the plan. This is what we're going to do. We got to get you out of here." On the way to the police station, that's when they show him the clip of Dahlia trying to hire this hitman, showing him his picture, showing him pictures of the house, agreeing to pay the deposit. And he's just flabbergasted, chin on the floor.
I couldn't imagine.
They explain the plan that Dahlia had came up with, and they're like, we got to go. So they take Michael to the police station, and they begin setting the scene as if Michael was murdered. About an hour later, police would then call Dahlia to inform her that her husband had been shot. The news crews that were there that day were actually film crews, because they were filming like a documentary type show with the police department, I guess, kind of like Cops, or I wouldn't say 48 hours, but kind of like along those lines. And that's how they caught it on video. So the first video I sent you, you know, you're like, "Man, it's crystal clear." It's because he's mic'd up, because they knew what they were doing. And her whole... It was her acting. She knew what was going on. She thought he'd done been shot by the hitman. She thought he was dead. And it was just her acting like it was the worst news she ever got. And if you notice, when she goes to the cop, she like grabs his bicep and she just holds that bicep and is like leaning on him. And it's just like, "Girl, get out of here." It is crazy. And then if you go back and watch, the guy in the background is just kind of like looking around like, "What are we doing?" it is so funny after you go and watch it the second time.
Yeah, I mean, not knowing any of that, you would think that she was seriously distraught.
Devastated, yeah. I already told you who the hitman was, the guy in the cuffs, and they end up telling Dahlia that they've caught everything. They've recorded everything. They've got her asking Muhammad. They've got the text to the boyfriend. They've got, or to the ex-boyfriend. They got a video of her trying to hire the hitman. She goes, "That wasn't me. I didn't do it." They're like, "Girl, we got you on film. That wasn't me. Yeah, I didn't do it. She would not admit to it. Would not admit to it.
That's
so
crazy.
Because they caught everything on film, they didn't have to have a confession. They're like, "It's an open and shut case. Like, we don't have to have the confession," because they're just going in circles with this girl. Like, she is not admitting to anything. Several times she's like, "I don't understand what's going on. I didn't hire a hitman. I didn't do that." It's just crazy. So of course they take her to jail. You get one phone call when you go to jail. Want to take a guess who she called?
The ex.
She called Michael.
Are you kidding me? The person she tried to kill?
She called Michael.
Oh my God. You have to be a special kind of stupid to do something like that.
She is such a narcissist. Like, she is grade A narcissist. Because when she calls him, like, she's getting pissy with him. And he's like, "You were the one that hired a hitman. You just tried killing me." "No, I didn't." He's like, I've seen the evidence. They showed me the evidence. Yeah, Michael, they showed me that too. And that's just wrong. It wasn't me. And he's like, what
are
you?
She's trying to gaslight him.
He's like, what are you even talking about? Like, they literally have you on footage. And she's like, Michael, you wouldn't even give me a chance to explain myself. And he's like, what is there to explain? Like, you tried to kill me. Then she flips it on him and was he was like, don't worry. I called your dad. They're going to hire you a lawyer. Like, I'm making sure that's taken care of through your parents. Like, you're at least that's taken care of. And she's like, excuse me? You need to hire me a lawyer. That's your duty as my husband. And Michael's just like, what?
Oh, my gosh.
Finally, they get off the phone because he's making no headway with this girl. And she's just blaming him and just denying everything. So this trial, once she would go to be tried, would stretch over nearly a decade.
Wow, really?
So Dahlia pleaded not guilty. Shocker, I know.
Mm-hmm.
And because she pleaded not guilty, she spent 20 months in jail waiting for her first trial.
Wow.
In April of 2011, she was finally charged with the solicitation to commit first-degree murder. Her defense was, so in the first trial, they actually brought Michael on the, what's it called?
Brought Michael
on the stand. There we go. Brought Michael on the stand and he testified. Whoops. He testified and he actually did a really good job. Like, they even talked about his past, which is kind of a risky move. But he was very relatable. He's like, yeah, I did that. I screwed up. I've been paying it back. Like, I served my time. I'm trying to be a better person. The defense's argument was that Dahlia and Michael came up with a plan. Michael wanted to be on a reality TV show. And so they formulated this plan for her to hire a hitman. But in the end, Michael changed his mind. And now he's using it against her, basically.
Now, wait a minute. That doesn't even make sense.
No. And then they were using the film crews that were there that day as like proof that that's what their plan was, that this was the plan all along. Everybody on their side was in on it except for the cops. Like, the cops were the only ones that weren't in on it.
Come on.
Narcissist. And what is that? I guess that lawyer was like, you know, there's so much evidence against you. What do we have to lose? Let's just throw it at the wall and see what sticks.
At that point, your reputation, maybe?
I don't know. I don't know.
Now you look like a complete idiot.
Looks so stupid.
Oh my gosh.
During this trial, they had a mountain of evidence against her, including the video of her and Muhammad, text messages and calls showing her intent, the video of the undercover cop. They even found where she had told Muhammad over the phone that she had tried to poison Michael at one point.
Oh, she
bought Michael a tea from Starbucks and brought it home. He took a big swig of it and he spit it out. He said he swallowed some of it, but he spit it out. He said it tasted horrible. And he was like, what the hell? So he dumped the rest down the sink. He was sick for the next 2 weeks. And she said that she had put antifreeze in his tea. Let's see here. During that first trial, she was found guilty and sentenced to 20 years in prison. Then, in 2014, the Fourth District of Appeal overturned Dahlia's conviction. They ruled that the jury was improperly selected and that the defense did not get a fair chance to question the jurors about TV exposure, and then they released her on house arrest pending a new trial. So they claimed that instead of asking the jurors individually what they've been exposed to and like interviewing them one-on-one, they kind of did it as a group. And I guess they used that as a loophole to get her conviction overturned.
Mm-hmm.
They send homegirl home to be on house arrest. The second trial happened in 2016. And mind you, because of a weird Florida law, Michael could not divorce her through the entire first trial. It wasn't until like in between the first and the second trial that they could even get divorced.
Oh, wow.
So, second trial happened in 2016. This trial would end in a hung jury, deadlocked 3-3 after days of deliberation. So, during this one, the cops were like, you know, this is such an easy case the first time. Let's not put him on the stand. They took out some of the evidence, which why? If it worked the first time, why are you pulling back? Why wouldn't you just do it again? And because of the changes that they made and some other evidence that they proved that it was an elaborate scheme between Michael and Dahlia, jurors end up in a deadlock 3-3. Ready for the next shocker? They did a pretrial to get ready for that second one, and the defense drops a bombshell that Dahlia needs to get home to her infant and they shouldn't send her away. Why would you take a mother away from her child? Want to take a guess who the daddy is?
No way. Surely not Michael.
No, wasn't Michael. You would never guess. So little Miss Dahlia was on house arrest, and I think it was an appliance. I think it was her dishwasher quit working. So she calls a repairman. Uh-huh. And the repairman comes and services her dishwasher and services her on the side. And now she has a child.
Oh, wow.
But with how conniving she is, it makes you wonder, like, did she do that on purpose to gain sympathy?
I could see that. And I could also see maybe, I hate to say it, but maybe her lawyer kind of gave her some of those ideas.
Yeah. Yep. Because, I mean, look at his stupid defense before that. I wouldn't put it past him.
No, I wouldn't either.
Insane.
I can't believe that they omitted evidence from the last trial to begin with. I mean, that's, to me, that's just ignorant.
Stupid.
Like, yeah, it's an open and closed case, but when you start omitting evidence like that, then your jurors are starting to look at things like in a totally different light.
Mm-hmm. And it obviously shows that. So here we go to the third trial, May of 2017. Prosecutors presented the same core evidence that they did during the first trial, including all the videos, all the evidence. They brought Michael back on the stand. The defense argued this time that Dahlia was manipulated by police and Muhammad. They claimed she believed it was a setup for a show prank. So this time they're saying she thought it was all fake, like she knew it was fake. And she was just acting for it.
What in the world?
It's insane. The verdict came in on May 31st, 2017, and she was convicted of solicitation to commit first-degree murder and was sentenced to 16 years in prison. Dahlia has appealed her conviction several times since then, arguing entrapment, ineffective counsel, and media bias. But so far, the courts have upheld the verdict and the sentence each time. As of 2025, her conviction still stands, and she remains incarcerated in the Florida Department of Corrections. Her projected release date is 2032.
Wow. Well, at least the jury finally came to their senses. I mean,
yeah, and I don't remember if it was the second or third trial, but she was saying that she was scared for her life because that hitman undercover cop that she was talking to had a gun to her head and made her say those things. Because you can't see him on the video. You can only see her. So how do you know he didn't do that? And that was one of their defense strategies.
Oh my gosh.
And what's another crazy, a crazy part of it is Michael, during all of this, is like, I just want my house back because his house is still in her name.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, I just want my house back. He even tried calling her and just tried to do it civilly and like, just sign it back over to me. I'll be done. I'll go away. Like, can we please just do this? And she's like, that's not my problem. And wouldn't do it. He had to, that lawyers had to take her to court and sue her to get it written back over to him, which they did finally do. They did finally get it put in his name. Wow. I think it was pretty shortly after they got divorced, Michael remarried another very young, pretty girl. But very quickly after they got divorced, which is just, it is what it is, you know, mm-hmm. but wild.
Well, I guess at least he came out ahead on it. I mean, I couldn't imagine finding out that my wife decided that it was time for me to die.
Yeah. And just was just carrying on about her day. Can you imagine his ex-wife and her best friend? Like, if we were in that situation, could you imagine me and Tamara and the phone calls we would have as the ex-wife and the best friend talking about, did you hear about Michael and Dahlia?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that would be insane.
Yeah. Crazy.
What an odd story.
Well, I found another one that's very similar to this that I'm not going to do it yet because you guys know it's coming. But I found another one where it's a very similar storyline where they faked somebody's death to fool the killer or possible killer, I guess. They were trying to go through with it to the point where they dug a grave and put like a prosthetic bullet hole on the side of his head and had him lay in the shallow grave to be found by this person.
Oh my gosh. Wild.
It is wild.
Crazy.
Yeah. I could not imagine. Like, is it just really slow in those towns with those cops? And they're like, man, this is boring. We need some excitement.
I don't know.
I don't either. And you know, when I first watched that footage before I knew what was going on, I was like, that cop's kind of being a dick. Like, she just found out that her husband died and he's like, get to the PlayStation. Your dog is fine. No, you can't see him. I was just kind of like, man, he's kind of being insensitive. Like, jeez. So, and now we know. It's because she was completely full of shit.
Yeah.
Why are you just staring at me, you creep?
Do what?
So why are you just staring at me, you creep?
You keep cutting out.
Oh, that's why. Okay.
It's really bad.
Is it the orb behind me?
No, I haven't seen that just that one time.
Well, that's comforting. I am in a laundry room. It was probably lint.
Maybe.
Hopefully you're not home for like a whole nother 5 days, so shut your mouth. It was lit.
Maybe that's why you keep freezing, because it's interfering with your electronics.
I don't like this game.
I just hope you don't have any late night visitors.
Stop it. I'm going to have one of my wild-ass dreams now because of you. I'm going to be walking through the house chasing little girls or a homeless man.
You'll be fine.
Well, hell, my dogs are useless. I took a freaking German Shepherd outside. I was like, hey, Charlie, let's go walk to the mailbox. And our mailbox is like a half mile down the road. And we don't even get halfway. And a random dog, like, across the field starts barking. And she stops and looks at it and, like, looks at me. I was like, come on, Char. She turned around, hauled ass to the house, and left me standing there in the dark by myself with another dog barking across the road.
Yep. That's what she does.
I should have taken Hazel with me. Hazel would have stayed.
Yeah. Hazel would have stayed by you. Charlie defends... She defends her house. I'll give her that.
Yeah.
But she doesn't venture far from the house.
No. Dang dog. Swear.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's all I've got. So I'm excited. Monday, our energy drink stuff comes in. So we'll get to try it. Maybe we'll do like a live or something, tasting it. Oh, you won't be here. I'll taste it.
Nope.
I got dibs on the peach one. I got dibs on the peach one. That's one that I want to try. The other one was like a blood orange and something else. I don't remember. And then we have a huge tub that they're sending, but it's a surprise flavor. You don't get to pick it. They just pick a random flavor for you. So.
Okay.
That'll be here Monday. And then I get to pick you up Wednesday.
I'm excited to try some.
Me too. What? Are we freezing again?
No. Now I'm connecting again.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we better get
it
off here before we
lose. Because my internet signal keeps bouncing in and out.
Yeah.
My Wi-Fi.
Well, we'll just call it good. That's all I had. Sorry, Seth. I never told you that yours didn't record. I don't think I'm going to tell him. I'm just going to post this one Monday and not say anything. Are you frozen again? Okay, I guess Josh is frozen again. He looks like he may have dropped the call. So we'll just, either that or he's just staring into my soul. One of the two. Either way, it's creepy. We'll give it just a minute and see if he comes back. Okay, well, I guess he's not coming back. He's just staring at me and it's really creeping me out. Oh, he's reconnecting. Maybe he's coming back.